Hello everybody and welcome to the Artist First World Radio Network, home of the best new music you've never heard and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistfirst.com where you can hear all our past shows for free and on demand. You were tuning in to Chit Chat Cafe Live After Dark. This show airs every Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For more information about this show and to listen to past shows for free, please visit artistfirst.com/chitchat.htm. And don't forget to follow Artist First on Twitter. You can find us under the Twitter handle at @artist_first. And now here are your hosts of Chit Chat Cafe Live After Dark, Lisa and Betty Ann.
Hi everybody, welcome to the Chit Chat Cafe Live After Dark. Airing live from Artist First World Radio. We have a great show for you tonight. We have three lovely ladies. We're going to have Barbara Horowitz, Joanne Darby, and Jill Slocor. Betty Ann, hi.
Hi, Lisa.
Got the pool weather coming up.
Huh? Yeah. This is going to be a fun hour.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really interesting things to find out from these ladies. But before we get started, I'd like to let everyone know about a promotion that's going on that our good friend, Mally Roncal, is having in New York City. Mally Beauty invites you to fight the powder. Plus your translucent powder in favor of Mally's must-have alternatives. Cakey, flaky, chalky, pasty, so-called translucent powder is the enemy of an ageless, radiant complexion. And makeup maven Mally Roncal is on a mission to eradicate it. As the leader of the War on Powder, Mally is issuing a battle cry, encouraging women to take a pledge to fight the powder. So on Tuesday, May 8th, during rush hour, 6:30 a.m. to 9:30 a.m., and also at 4 p.m. to 7 p.m., right outside of Grand Central Terminal, Mally and her Fight the Powder Squad will encourage women to take a stand against translucent powder by trading in their old compact for Face Defender, Mally's completely clear, genius alternative to traditional powder. It's going to be a lot of fun, and the first 50 women to take the pledge will receive Mally's Face Defender. And there's going to be a rain date of Tuesday, June 19, if it rains. So, Mally, she's got this great product. I've been using it, and it really is fabulous. It's great. There's no powdery stuff on your face. It just takes the shine away. I love it.
Makes you look airbrushed, huh?
Oh, yeah. It's great. I can't even explain it. It's, like, clear, and you pat it with the sponge, and you just pat it to your face, and it just takes the shine away. It makes your makeup look perfect and set. Really,
good.
It's really nice. So, yeah. So, I guess we should get started.
Absolutely.
Barbara Horowitz.
Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, Barbara's here. She is a personal stylist, and she's the author of the book Closet Control. Welcome, Barbara.
Oh, gosh. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited. This is fun.
Yeah, this is so nice. It's so nice to talk to you. I did a little bit of reading about some of the things that you've been involved in, you know, and one thing that I wanted to find out is, because you've spent a lot of time with fashion models and celebrities, can you tell us a little bit about that? Like, that just seems really exciting.
I know, the operative word seems. No. I remember at 25 years old when I became a modeling agent, I was literally like, I had died and gone to heaven as the ex, like, you know, cosmetics retail girl. So, you know, really an amazing experience to help girls that are actually moving, living products versus like what you're speaking about, a translucent powder that's the age defier. Taking young girls and actually shaping and molding them and developing them into what became like monster actresses like Charlize Theron or gals like Marissa Miller, who we started in L.A., the Victoria's Secret, Sportswear Illustrated, like this girl, crazy, crazy body. Just a really, you know, so much fun. But it's also really fun now to do that with, like, everybody that's their own celebrity and to kind of take that development and pass it on to every single person, because we're all sort of amazing, but we just don't necessarily know how to say that or show that or what that's supposed to look like.
Mm-hmm. Well, is that what, that's what your role is now, your title now is the people stylist?
Yeah, I mean, because it's really important. I love the person behind the person, because I was a person behind all these Glamazons. And the person behind the person might be the head of a major television network. They could be the writer, the director. It could be the mom. It could be the wife. It could be, you know, major finance. I work with major shrinks of all sort of demographics because, mm-hmm. you know, therapists need support too.
mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's really, really, really rewarding to kind of just, again, we sometimes know who we are on the inside, but we're not necessarily with society's messages, especially as women, capable of exactly saying what that is on the outside.
Yeah. So I guess what you do you show people how to style themselves properly so they can express themselves for who they really are? Is that what your goal is?
Yeah, my goal really is that there's three sort of things that happen. Is that the emotional aspect of being a woman, as we all know, is mm-hmm. not easy, you know? And for every single day, wouldn't we want to get up and, you know, wear something new? And how to create, if today is not a great day, might be a blue day, how to kind of fake it till you make it. So I sort of help people emotionally get over what we think is far worse than even what it is, and then helping them through relevance and strategy of how to create this, like, I look great, I feel great, there's a connection from the inner and the outer, and it's not necessarily just an easy thing to show people. It's more that I come in and I sort of, you know, sort of tiny riot them into this creation that they probably didn't know they were going to become, but it's definitely going to be their current, most ageless, most relevant self, whether they're 24 or, you know, 64.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, what is Echo's selfish and economical approach to fashion?
I know. I'm so excited because my book came out in 2007, and as a single author, to basically have a book I wrote 6 years ago before the environment was a concern, before the economy was as big of a concern as it is, I just always thought that eco-selfish is such this great, great term, because if we actually just took control on our own of how we were purchasing and how we were recycling, then we could leave an imprint softer, because as women we tend to be highly consumptive because we're easily marketed to by all the messaging. So imagine if we buy, wear, sell, and repeat. So, you know, 5 years later, I'm basically selling clients' clothing at like staggering feats. My car is being overwhelmed by it. And I am basically the proof of what I wrote, but clients don't enjoy the process of selling their clothing. And I'm actually able to curate their clothing at a much higher rate based on the way that they buy it. But I want to teach them how to buy it at resale on sale. And then we're going to turn it over and turn it around, and so that they're basically leasing their wardrobe. So eco-selfish is basically, it's basically like, oh my God, I love this sweater, but it's like so big, I'm going to throw it in the washer and shrink it. Or I love this mm-hmm. t-shirt and I got like pit stains underneath it, I'm going to dye it. So it's just being a problem solver and thinking about our clothing in a much more gentle way, because when I hear the word throw out, which I still hear, it makes me incredibly nervous, because think about all, you know, that our future generations will be living on with all the landfill.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, is that what your Rigged T-shirt couture is?
Yeah, Rigged. It's so funny that you said Rigged. It's so funny because it's not in business such a good idea to use such an esoteric term. And Rigged, when people would say, well, what did you do? Like, how are you wearing that? I would say, I rigged it. So when in 2001, after I was no longer a modeling agent, it just started to happen. The next chapter started to unfold just naturally. And I literally just bought some t-shirts at Goodwill and started to cut them. I really started to cut them when Britney Spears' costume designer lived with me briefly and was the costume designer on Crossroads. She took them to the set. That's sort of how it all started. I was just messing around because I had taken like my first year off in like, I don't know, 20, and I was only like, you know, 30.
Oh, gosh.
So I was just messing around, basically, and I kind of came across the fact that I could really cut up a mean t-shirt. And still can. I mean, like, I kind of rock as a 45-year-old woman on YouTube amongst these other kids. I have one video that is like, I don't know, that's like 475,000 people.
Wow. So that's where the tea parties are, and by tea, I'm saying tea.
Yeah, yes. Yes, I wish I could do them so much more, but you know who ended up hiring me was major brands hired me. So I did this for like Nike and Sky Vodka and Vanity Fair and Fred Siegel and lots of major brands would give me branded t-shirts. Again, this was in 2001, and I would literally cut them into like a million things right in front of them. I don't even know how to sew, so it was just sort of a channeling, and as a left-handed person that's not supposed to be able to use a scissors well, I guess I dodged that sort of, inaccuracy.
Wow, that's really cool.
What's really, thank you, because you know what's really cool is that I'm an old chick doing this. That's what's cool, because we see our kids. I have a lot of clients that are like, oh, my God, she dressed herself today. And I'm like, so about their daughters. I'm like, don't say that. That's that experience of being raw and open and not being beaten down by what we're supposed to do. When your kids go out and they put the wonkiest outfit together, they're styling.
Yeah, that's, they're expressing themselves and they're creating their own fashion. That's right. Oh my gosh. And you're not old, believe me.
You know, but it's just so interesting because when I see kids and I'm so amazed by the combinations they put together, because I try to explain to clients that fashion is about conflict. We spend our entire days trying to be perfect and trying to be balanced, like namaste. But fashion is all about contrast and conflict. It's about sort of the inner kind of like cuckoo-ness of ourselves actually living on the outside so people aren't so surprised.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, now you have an internet radio show.
Oh, my God, did I love radio. Oh, my God, did I love radio. I have to say I'm the least well-dressed for a radio show tonight than I've ever been when I had my own show. I was lucky enough to go into a studio, and California Psychics, of all places, powered the show. And they powered, so if you called in to get a reading, you know, they could also suggest, listen to our show, you know, about how to lose weight. Listen to our relationship astrology show. Listen to our fashion show if you want to meet a guy and get on, you know, feel good when you're on a date. It was a really amazing experience. I so am excited for you guys that you're able to survive radio.
Yeah,
and that it's happening. You and Adam Carolla. It was like one of the greatest years. It was honestly in 2008 one of the greatest years. I had just such the most phenomenal guests on like you guys too. And it just literally was, I mean, radio is just such an amazing free form. And it was such an amazing experience. I was really, really sad to see it go.
Oh, because I was hoping that I could listen to it, but...
I know, because California Psychic was so fear-based, ironically. They dropped the entire page of all the shows that lived. And my show is called Fashion 411. It's never just about the clothing. And, you know, we did this one show called ABCDEFG, What Bra Cup Size Should I Be? Because it was really fun for me to, like, you know, to write the openings like you guys do and to book the guests and just get on there and just be like, it's happening. It's free. It's what's happening right at the moment. And that's really what we want fashion to also dictate too. Instead of being so controlled by our closets, we really want to be a little more free and not be so segregated by this is work, this is weekend, this is the gym. It's all one wardrobe, one life.
Sounds good to me, I'll tell you. Now, you do virtual styling services online.
Yeah, it's called virtual styling, and it's really amazing because I can literally just look at somebody's Facebook profile. It's like almost like, you know, a fashion channeler, if you will, and I can literally just look at their profile and that's all I need to see, and just get a really clear idea of what's going on for them and how they are expressing themselves. Because again, society sort of teaches us, well, now I'm a mom, and oh, now I'm, you know, I'm married, and oh, I'm not 22 anymore, and I can't be wearing that anymore. And these rules are not really imposed. They just seem to sort of be part of the territory of growing up. So it's really fun visually just to get online with someone and just say to them, a lot of this is just the preconceived notions of society.
Yeah. Well, have you ever had somebody that you styled that was so bad that the transformation was just, like, unbelievable? It was like a whole new person?
Well, you know what's really fun about it is that I liken it to, because I have a lot of female clients right now that are concerning me because they have not had intimacy in 4 years and they're not on dates. And it really, really worries me because I kind of feel like when I meet them at the door, they're going on a date with me. So I also noticed that I never, because I don't like to see too much of somebody beforehand, I really feel it is a channeling experience. It's almost more like, how the hell did I get there? Because I get lost everywhere, and I basically travel around the country. But I have to say, when that door opens, I'm either, like, attracted or not attracted. And by the end, I'm extremely attracted because all I've done is sort of kind of move the dial so that person can be seen for the amazing person that they are inside, but they may not know how to do so on the outside.
Sounds good. I mean, I think I need that, actually. I need a whole...
How old are you?
I mean, me too. I need a
lot. How old are you guys?
Off limits.
You're not going to tell me how old you are.
No.
Well, oh, my God, please. I hate that. My second book was going to be, you know, if the publishing world didn't change so drastically, it would have been, if life begins at 40, how come I still have nothing to wear? Now, I'm 45, but when I started to do research on this book, I had women that did not want to tell me their age. They're like, why does it matter? I'm like, why does it matter? I mean, for me, I just want to be the hottest 45-year-old that I possibly can be. If somebody's going to shave off 5 or 6 years and say I look 38, I'd rather be 45. I don't need to look 38. I want to be where I am, and I want women to celebrate the beauty of where they are, the lines that they own, and stop filling things up thinking that makes a difference.
Well, we have to think about that. That's something
We're close to your age.
Yes, we are. Okay, let's just say I'm older. But I will share with you the key age client that's come to me for 8 years. It's been 47. And it's an amazing thing. It's almost like that alarm clock goes off inside where the client thinks, I don't want to get older. I want to be too young. What do I do? And I liken this whole scenario now that I'm 45 years old behind this client, understanding for the first time what they meant. I liken it to our biggest celebrity icons turning 50, having massive meltdowns, and we know who they are. Because I think 40 to 45 is an amazing time. You're like, I got this, but 45 to 50 is almost a feeling of like, oh, okay, things are a little bit not as bright as they were. And then I'm hoping 50 on, because I'm working with some clients that are in their 50s, that to me excite me about getting into my 50s.
Well, what I think it's more like they reinvent themselves through their clothing, but they also reinvent themselves like in career when they get into that age group.
I think what happens is that I think women are basically definitely. I have a lot of clients that will tell me at that age, like I have my work down. It's sort of on autopilot, which is a good thing. They've established some success, but it does seem there's some. There could be some personal life balances that are not necessarily occurring that's waking them up to the fact that maybe I need to just try something different. And that's where I go to the fact of the whole current and relevance. When I dress men, you can't say cute, hot. They don't really care. They're too practical. If you say relevant, they're like, okay, got it. So if I can take a woman that may be holding onto clothing just a little longer than she should be because it's now showing her age, like, again, it's a weird thing because I'm so happy to be my age. But I don't want to dress my age. If I put on some of the archetypes of things that I was wearing in the 80s, I don't want to look my age. I don't want to look my age. I want to be my age.
Well, Barbara, you have been a lot of fun tonight. We really enjoyed talking to you. And we would love to have you come back again soon.
I would love that. I would really love that because you guys are my outlet to radio, and I just adore it. It's just such an amazing outlet to just really create the conversation, which women, obviously, we are all so good at doing.
We really had a good time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Enjoy the rest of the show.
You too. Bye.
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 Good fashion advice.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to be back with Joanne Darby.
Now back to Chit Chat Cafe Live on the Artist First World Radio Network.
Hi, everybody. We're back. I'd like to introduce our next guest. She's a certified personal trainer, a licensed medical esthetician, and a North Carolina
Aesthetics.
Yeah, that.
Yeah.
It's getting late. Educator and the author of the Girlfriend book, and MGFL, Much Girlfriend Love. Joanne currently owns the Lake Norman Skin Studio Med Spa in Cornelius, North Carolina. Welcome, Joanne.
Hi, girls. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, our pleasure. You have a cool career going on here. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome. I have to actually tell you that I don't own the Medi Spa anymore because the girlfriend life world has completely taken over. So that's now owned by somebody else, but it started there, and it's so much more than just books. Everybody knows how much they love their girlfriends. It's just amazing. It's just such an amazing thing, and nobody's done it yet, so we're doing it.
Good, cool. Well, tell us about the Girlfriend book. What is it about?
Okay, the Girlfriend book was originally written for my daughter. There was no plan for it to be a book. We were out shoe shopping. She is 13 years old now.
But all right, training her right.
She was 4 years old at the time, and all you ladies out there that are moms and have small children and they are in their dress-up clothes or whatever, you know, and they want to go out in public. You know, you pick your battles pretty carefully, and that was one I didn't really care about. If she's not committing a crime or she's not hurting anyone, fine, wear your Cinderella dress out the door. That's fine. We were shoe shopping, and she literally was in her Cinderella dress. And I was looking at a pair of shoes, and I couldn't decide which pair to buy, a pair of black ones or a pair of brown ones. They were exactly the same shoe. And so I looked over at my daughter. Her name is Elena. And I said, Elena, which shoe do you like on mommy, the brown one or the black one? And she looked over at me, you know, and kind of did her little four-year-old drama queen look. And she said, mommy, they are both fabulous. And I thought, oh, my gosh, they are both fabulous. I'm going to buy both. And so that started the first girlfriend rule, which was when you find a pair of shoes you love and they come in black and brown, you buy both. There's just no question to it. And every time I've stuck to that rule, I've been so glad that I did. And so for years, I would just write down different things, from doing personal training to doing skincare. My husband is in the financial world, so we would travel all over the country and, you know, traveling tips, and I would just write them down because I thought, what if something happened to me? And she didn't know all the good stuff that has taken me so long to figure out, even the smallest things that you think that everybody knows, they don't. For example, like putting a pack of lemonade, the Kool-Aid, the lemonade kind, in your dishwasher cleans the whole dishwasher. I didn't know that. And some people are like, oh, yeah, I knew that. So I just started writing down all the tips and advice and things that I could think of. And then when I would, when I was around other people and they would give what we call girlfriend tips, I would write that down too and put their name by it. And then it started kind of getting into more motivational and inspirational stuff because the Medi-Spa that I owned, the clients there were pretty high-profile clients and absolutely beautiful women, very wealthy women. And when that treatment door shut, their walls just came down, and it was amazing. It was then I realized that everybody has something that they're dealing with. Everybody has something that they're trying to overcome. And, you know, we look at one woman and go, oh, yeah, well, whatever. That's, you know, get over it. But that's her world. And I learned that, you know, to give validation to each person and what they're dealing with, because that's what they were dealing with at the moment. And so they were like, Joanne, you give such good advice. You know, how where do you get it all from? And I'm like, well, one, from mistakes. A lot of mistakes. And I write them down. And they said, we want a copy of this book. And I'm like, I'm sorry. It's for my daughter. It's handwritten, and they are the ones that encouraged me to publish the girlfriend book. And the girlfriend book was released 2 years ago, and it sold out its first 2 weeks on Amazon, Borders, and Barnes & Noble, and I was floored. I kind of knew when I turned in the manuscript, I got this little feel within that I knew something really great and special, and I didn't quite know what, because they were just, it was, to me, some of it was pretty basic knowledge, but it is just, it's grown, and Much Girlfriend Love, MGFL, we, you know, sign off on Facebook like that a lot, MGFL, is just kind of that, you know, short little phrase that you can say to your girlfriend, and there's nothing like girlfriend love. I was doing an interview not too long ago, and my husband was in on the interview, and they said, you know, what do you think about your wife's success with, you know, all the girlfriend, you know, stuff? And he's like, well, you know, it's great, but I don't get it. I started laughing. I'm like, you don't get it because you don't need it. You know, we have to have that plug. And it's just, it's basically that in a nutshell. How you love your girlfriends is what I do. And I just put it on a large scale. And I love doing the If She Can, We Can stories where we share, you know, some women want to share what they've been through. And it's just amazing to connect women that needed that information at that time. So that's what the girlfriend book started. And it's just, you know, now it's got tons of followers all over the world. And it has been the most wonderful, joyful, is such a blessing to just be able to communicate with such amazing women.
Well, Joanne, this is Betty Ann, and I read your book, and there were so many tips that I, when I read them, I said, oh, that's a great idea. Oh, I never thought of that. And then some things that were so true, like the one tip that you gave about the white shirts and black pants.
funny.
I was like, yeah, you know, do you want to give that tip to the listeners?
Sure. I think you're talking about you could never have too many pairs of black pants or too many white shirts. And let me add, and let me add black shoes with that.
Yeah.
Oh, God, millions.
I mean, yeah. My, you know, guys will say, you already have a pair of black shoes. Right, whatever.
They don't know. They have
they
no
don't.
Clue.
They don't. And my husband tries. I have to give it to him. He tries, but they don't get it. And that's okay. We really don't want them to, because that's our thing that we're doing, you know. So,
and then one thing that you mentioned in your book, and I had to laugh because something just came right into my mind. It was your tip about making exercise a high priority.
Sure, yes, absolutely, absolutely. Well, you know, when you exercise, I don't know anybody may or may not know this, but when you exercise, you know how you feel so great when you leave?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you do that, you've released endorphins throughout your mm-hmm. body that create that happy feel. It's the endorphins that are yeah. found in antidepressants. You know, it's basically that in a bottle, and that's fine. I'm not saying don't take those by any means. I am totally a fan mm-hmm. of you do what you need to do for your world. But incorporating exercise, and if you will do it for the mental, all of the physical comes. So absolutely, mm-hmm. you have to make it a priority because you feel good about yourself, you know, and raising self-esteem. I was just talking about this. I did a TV show today here, and we were talking about self-esteem and how you raise self-esteem. And you do that by doing something that you are good at over and over and over. And then you get better each time, and it makes you want to try something new. And actually, fear and doubt are like the dynamic duo of killing women, you know, they fear and doubt. And you kill fear and doubt by raising your self-esteem. When you raise your self-esteem, that fear and doubt kind of dwindles. And exercise is a great example of that because you go in and, you know, it's overwhelming to think, okay, I'm going to go run, I don't know, 3 miles. Some people, that's just completely overwhelming. Well, if you go and you walk one, then tomorrow you go and walk two, and then the next day you go and run maybe half a mile and walk another mile and a half. You build up, and then you know that you can, and you apply that to anything in your life, and your self-esteem goes up. But exercise is a great way to really wrap your mind around that concept.
Oh, yeah. But you know what came into my mind when I read that? It just immediately popped into my mind that quote from Elle Woods in Legally Blonde. Mm-hmm. You remember that movie where she...
Somebody else brought that up recently. What is that quote?
The quote, immediately that popped into my mind. She said, about Brooke Wyndham, the fitness trainer, the woman accused of killing her husband, Elle says, I just don't think that Brooke could have done this. Exercise gives you endorphins. Endorphins make you happy. Happy people just don't shoot their husbands. They just don't.
That's exactly what somebody said to me the other day about that very same thing. I'm going to have to go watch
yeah.
that movie again.
It just popped right into my head when I read that, and I had to laugh because I said, that is... that's Elle Woods. I mean, exactly what she had said in the movie.
That's so cute. Okay. I have to ask you a question. When you were reading through the book, did you yourself come up with, oh my gosh, I have a girlfriend tip in your head? Did you do that? You're like, I've got one. Because so many people say, oh yeah, I'm thinking, you know, I remember, I need to write down the things that I know. You take for granted the simple things that you know.
I can't say that I thought that at the time. I was more noticing things that were like, oh, yeah, that's a good idea, or, oh, yeah, I knew that one. And of course, the one that struck me had to do with food, and it had to do with fast food restaurants, and it was Chick-fil-A.
Oh, you guys have Chick-fil-A out there.
Yeah, my favorite place. I mean,
is it not the best?
I saw that.
Yeah, are you girls laughing at my southern accent over here?
Oh, no. No. In fact, we had someone in the first hour who had a southern accent, and he said, well, you girls have an accent, too.
Oh, see, I don't
because
think
we're from
you
Jersey.
Do. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. I hear that now. Okay. But I didn't know if you had Chick-fil-A.
Oh, we have Chick-fil-A, and when I read that, I said, oh, we both love Chick-fil-A. The only problem, though, is that they just discontinued. They're not selling their lemon pie anymore, and I'm a little bit upset about it, you know?
Do they need to do something about that?
Lemon pie where you live?
No, they do not. They do not.
Did they ever have it?
No, they did. I think they did it for a limited time, and then they discontinued it. But do you girls have peach milkshakes?
Ooh,
no.
Good, but
yeah.
Really
no.
Good.
We have banana. Are they banana?
Yeah, we've had
the banana cream.
You're so cute. The banana.
they have one with a banana.
I hear your accent there.
Yeah, I love Chick-fil-A. You know, it's so funny. Yeah. I crave their sweet tea on Sundays when I can't have it.
Why do we want things that we can't have?
We have to buy their stuff on Saturday.
Yes,
put it in
it's like gold.
Yeah, absolutely. I have it all planned out. I mean, Chick-fil-A is like, and you know, they're closed on Sunday. So, like, I'll go buy, like, I'll buy a tray of nuggets and put them in the freezer.
They're the
and
best.
I'll take them out.
And you can heat them up, and they're still great. So, yeah, we're plugging Chick-fil-A way too much.
I know. We have to talk about some other tips. Can you tell us one of your most favorite tips?
Tips or advice?
Well, either one.
You know. I really, it's interesting because the girlfriend book, before I give you one of my favorite things, people forget that it was written for, at the time, a young child, you know. So when it came out, not necessarily for a young child, but that at the time she was young and I was writing it, you know, for to give to her when she is an adult. So it's not like it's an elementary book. But I totally lost what I was going to say.
You wrote it for your daughter, the book.
Oh, okay, I know. I'm sorry. Do you women do that? Just lose what you're saying and thinking?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'm going crazy.
It's a mom thing.
It is a mom thing. We have so many things going on in our head.
Yeah.
When I got the book, when it first, you know, came out and I got it in my hands, and it was originally, the very first run was it's beautiful, and it's discontinued because of price point to do it, but it's a hardback, very beautiful 5x5 square book. The pages alternate pink and green. It's a really, you know, smooth, silky. But I did not originally think that it would go gangbusters like crazy. I, you know, was like, okay, I'm going to get this published, but I'm going to do it. It's going to be as classy as it can be. It's got to be first class. This is my daughter we're talking about. And when I got it in, I was a little overwhelmed at how I felt about selling it or letting people read what it was that I was writing for my daughter, because I thought, well, what if they think it's stupid, or what if they think, you know, the way I think is ridiculous? And so it was very vulnerable, and it still is, doing what I do, to put my neck out there and, you know, kind of, that's all I know, those two books that you have. That's everything I know. Well, actually,
I'm looking at it right now, and I can flip through on any page and find something that I'm like, there's just so many interesting things and so many things that are useful in everyone's life. It's just a great book. I mean,
well, I really appreciate that. I really do. And it's designed, you know, we're all into so many things now. We play so many roles in life. We're trying to be a mom. We're trying to be a good friend. We're trying to be a good wife. We're trying to, you know, exercise, and, you know, trying to be professional. It's really completely overwhelming at times. And so I design those books in a way that, like, your best favorite self-help book, you go through and you kind of highlight the things that are important to you, so that when you're down or whatever, you can kind of flip through and just read your highlighted marks and go on. Well, we don't have time to sit down and read a bunch of, I would love to be able to add that to my list of leisure that I sit down and read books all the time. And but I've designed it so that you could pick it up when you're just kind of weak, especially MGFL. MGFL is more motivational and inspirational. Pick it up, and I call that book A Hole for Your Soul, because I wrote that in just a really, really hard time. And and if you look, I don't know if you noticed it, MGFL, but if you hold it in your left hand or any hand and flip through the bottom pages, you see subliminal words that are not just love, joy, happy. It's like
motivation and fire.
I did that to give you a quick, here you go, girl, you can make it through right now. And it's not making it through this month. It's not making it through this week. It's
about making it through right now, today, this moment, sometimes this hour, because you're just so overwhelmed. So back to your original question, what is one of my favorites?
I'd love to have you on again.
We're done? Oh, okay.
we're running into overtime now, and you are just so interesting. I love this book. Pretty, and
thank you.
Just so happy to have it here, because I can look on any page and find something that means something to me or something that I can use. And you were just a pleasure to speak to tonight. We would love to have you back again sometime.
I would love to come back. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. Wait, thank you so much, and have a great night.
You too. Take care, girls.
Bye.
Okay.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Very pretty lady, too. Very, very pretty.
Yeah. Yes.
We'll take a very quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Now back to Chit Chat Cafe Live After Dark.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. I'd like to introduce our next guest. Her name is Jill Smokler, and she is the author of Scary Mommy, An Honest Look About Parenting and Motherhood and everything about all stages of childhood and how you can connect and commiserate with each other. Right? Right, Jill?
You got it. Jill, yes. Thank you for having me.
I like the name of it. It's cute.
Thank you. It is sort of the book on motherhood that I wish I had when my kids were even littler, and I just felt like the only mother in the world who did not see sunshine and rainbows constantly and wanted to bang my head against the wall and thwart my kids in my mind and just didn't think that the whole thing was as perfect as everybody around me did.
Now, did you have issues? Is that what made you start it?
I started it when my youngest was an infant, and I had a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, and I was really just looking for something to do, really for myself, and just an outlet. So I started the blog just really on a whim, and then it quickly grew from just my personal blog into much more of a parenting site, and then the book stemmed from that.
How many children do you have?
I have 3. They are now 4, 6, and 8, and an enormous handful.
Like, what do you find is the biggest issue with everyone?
I think just probably at the moment the dynamic of never being able to get along. I'll always pretty much have 2 kids who can peacefully coexist together, but there's always one, and it changes, who just throws the whole dynamic off, and the bickering and the fighting and all that. That's our biggest struggle. We just came from a week away at Disney World, and we drove, which was 16 hours there and back, so there was a lot of bickering.
Mm. Oh, God. How about bullying? Yeah. Do you see that to be a big issue?
Bullying? You know, my kids are still pretty little, so thankfully we really haven't dealt with that all that much. I do find that bullying is sort of the catchphrase right now, and, you know, I think it's very much on everybody's radar, and they're very careful to point out behavior or, you know, anything that sort of puts up red flag. So my daughter comes home and tells me that someone got bullied, and it turns out that, you know, somebody just took a piece of paper away, you know, something that's really little that really isn't technically bullying. So we are definitely aware and looking out for it, but thankfully have not really dealt with it yet.
Bill, this is Betty Ann, and I want to ask you a little bit about the Scary Mommy Confessional. What kind of confessions are posted there?
Oh, it's everything. I really started it thinking that there would just be pretty lighthearted confessions, the things that you did that you wouldn't necessarily go tweeting about or posting on Facebook, you know, the fact that you ordered pizza four nights in a row or didn't bathe your kids after they went in the swimming pool, or just things that we sort of all do from time to time but aren't exactly proud of. But and there is definitely an element of those, but there's everything from people's relationships to people really truly struggling with motherhood and second guessing their decision to have kids to you know, the funny stuff too. But it's a very interesting insight into what mothers are really thinking.
How old are the parents that actually post on this blog? How old are their children? Do they go into high school, or is it mostly elementary? Or
no, it varies tremendously. We have people who haven't even had kids yet, or have. Young kids, people with high schoolers, people with college kids. I have grandmothers on the site who haven't had little kids in the ages and just find it amusing and entertaining to sort of look back and dole advice. So it really, there's a large variety of the type of moms and dads who use the site.
Have there been any really scary type of things posted in the confessional? Something that you felt was so disturbing that you might actually want to report it to law enforcement?
Yeah, there have been a couple of things that have been tough. And the problem is that I had it coded to be completely anonymous. So it doesn't, you know, there really isn't much of a, I'm sure if I actually had to get law enforcement involved, they would probably find a way. But as far as I know, I can't really see an IP address correlating from a confession. But there have been. There was a confession a couple of months ago from someone who said, I feel like a terrible mother. I just had enough, brought the kids to my mother's house, and I'm going to end it. And it was, you know, I immediately had emails and tweets saying, you know, that was basically a suicide note. You know, what can you do? And I thought, I don't know what I can do about this. But the amazing thing was that there were so many people who immediately rushed to the boards and wrote, you know, hey, confessor number, you know, 1527, but I don't know, remember the number, you know, we're here for you, you know, I've been there, what can we do to help? And there was just this outpouring of support, and the woman actually ended up stumbling upon the boards and now is an amazing member of the site and really, you know, thanks the members there for, you know, really helping her turn her life around, which is pretty incredible.
Yeah, well, it is. It is pretty incredible because, you know, you hear things periodically in the news about women who are suffering from postpartum depression and, you know, they're overwhelmed. So that's a really
good thing. Well, exactly, and I think the worst thing you can feel when you're in the throes of that, and fortunately, I really didn't struggle with postpartum. I think I had some, I may have lightly dabbled in it, but nothing to the degree that some of the people I know had. But I think to feel like you're the only mother who feels that way is taking a situation which is already pretty horrific and making it so much worse. So if we can show that, you know, there are other people who feel the same and, you know, got help and have come out of it okay, that's a pretty wonderful thing to do.
Oh, yeah. Well, how about mother-in-law confessions? Has anyone about mother-in-law issues, problems?
Oh, absolutely, yes. And I tend to find some comfort in those personally. The things that I can't blog about, if I ever have a thought, then it goes straight to the confessional. But yes, that is, mother-in-laws are definitely an issue that people have some problems with. And as a mother of two boys, it's pretty hard for me to to think about being in the role which so many people despise. So mother-in-laws are really common, as are lazy husbands, stepkids, teachers who don't love kids. I mean, really just anything you could think of involving kids, pregnancy, spouse, life, it's all there.
Well, that's a very useful tool for all those people that need that type of interaction, which is a good thing. Well, you have been, you partnered with Target, and it was a social media fashion something that you partnered with Target. It was called the most revolutionary social media campaign ever. You were considered the social media fashion expert. What was that all about?
Well, I mean, I absolutely would not consider myself an expert, perhaps for that brief period of time, but it has not sustained itself. But it was last May I partnered with Target, and they basically, our combined Facebook fans, dressed me for the entire month. I was pretty much a size 12/14 paper doll that they just picked outfits out of the collection, and the outfit that had the most votes, I had to actually wear and go about my day and go to school, volunteering, work, whatever I did in these clothes that somebody else dressed me in. And it was fun. From a user perspective, I think it was really interesting to see what the actual outfits looked like on a real person. And I was writing really honestly about how I felt about them. People kept putting me in shorts, and I despise shorts with a great passion. So I really was not enjoying every single day of it, but it did help really broaden my horizons and really got me out of my black yoga pants and t-shirts that I tend to live in. So it was fun. Towards the end, I was ready to dress myself again, and then I have days now where I think, I don't know what to wear. I wish I had other people telling me, this is what you're wearing today. You have no choice. You can't throw 1,000 outfits on the floor. This is what you're doing. Because it was a really easy way to exist.
Well, do you think that people chose outfits for you that were actually nice, or do you think they tried to choose things that you really wouldn't like?
I think there was both. I think I had people that really were trying to look out for me and make me look as good as possible, and then I definitely had some outfits that were, I mean, nobody in their right mind could think that combination was a good thing. I had one outfit that was shorts and this, like, embroidered shirt and this terrible handbag and a hat and jewelry that, like, made no sense whatsoever. And I wore it, and I thought to myself, I could easily just take a picture of this outfit and, like, go inside and change. Nobody's really going to know the difference, but it just, I really was committed to it. And I thought, on the slight chance that there was someone who happened to be at the aquarium at that very moment in time when I was supposed to be wearing this hideous faux pearl necklace with a leopard print shirt, I was going to do it.
Oh, that's funny. You're very brave.
I feel like I'm not, but I feel like it really did make me brave because I had no choice. And I did have, I signed the deal to do it with them, and then I did have this, like, stomach-dropping moment where I thought, did I really just do this? What on earth was I thinking? But it did end up being a really positive experience. And I love Target, so it was a great, it was a great, great company to align myself with.
Oh, yeah, Target's the best. Did you get the
clothes? I did. I donated some that, the shorts. The shorts were great to Goodwill. But I did keep a whole bunch of them.
Oh, that's really funny.
Yeah, it was fun.
Well, Jill, it's been a real pleasure talking to you tonight. We've had a lot of fun. We would love to have you back on again soon.
That would be great. I would love to. And I am in a hotel room by myself without my kids tonight, so I am very excited to crawl into bed.
Where are you?
I'm in Chicago.
Love Chicago. I'm so jealous.
I love Chicago, too, and I really told myself that I was going to go out to dinner and walk around and see the city, and I ended up just ordering a movie and getting room service, and I don't think I've ever been happier.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, exactly. I never get to do this, so
the luxury. Enjoy the rest of your night.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for having me.
Bye.
Okay, take care.
Well, Betty, and that was a fun night.
Yeah,
we had a lot of fun. Our guest. Barbara Horowitz, Joanne Darby, and Jill Snowler. And Betty Ann, thank you for being on here with me tonight.
It was a lot of fun. Had a good time. Yeah.
Well, good night, everyone. We'll see you next week. And we're going to have the new unveiling of the new Chit Chat Cafe Live. See you next week.
Yeah. Good night.